This is the Thanks for Sharing podcast, the podcast where we explore all things recovery, healing, and relationship.
Remember to subscribe and download episodes in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on the Podbean app.
You can find more Thanks for Sharing at www.thanksforsharingpodcast.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/healingpaths. That's path with an S.
Hello and welcome to Thanks for Sharing. I'm John T.
I'm Jackie P.
We're going to start off this episode. This is our fifth part in our series on things functional adults can do. We're going to start off talking about our last 2 weeks because it has been a hell of a last 2 weeks.
There's been a lot of crazy flying around here.
And I was telling my wife the other night, I said, most of it's not coming from the people I help. Like my clients, even my really intense trauma cases are actually doing really, really well right now. We in our practice, there have been some upheavals that we were not expecting.
Right.
That hit a couple weeks ago.
Which just introduces chaos.
Right.
Especially when you're not expecting it.
Yeah. I think since we started this podcast, we didn't start this podcast in October. I think we released our first episode in October, but we worked on it for 4 to 6 months before that.
And mentally, probably since the year before that.
Right. So not only launching that was a new avenue for our practice, but we also started learning how to be better business owners around November. And you've been doing that process longer than I have. So there have been a lot of changes, a lot of things that have been in flux over the last 6 months.
And some of that is exciting, right? As we look at how can we expand and how can we maybe make things more accessible for other people.
Yeah.
And that's exciting, but it's still new and it's still growth, which is hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was talking to my business coach about that a few weeks ago, and he pointed out that courage is what's required for this, but he said courage isn't a pleasant experience because courage is centered around fear. Courage is about recognizing that there's fear there and that you are intentionally going to face the fear.
Yep, so true. Instead of running or hiding.
Yeah, so the last couple weeks, especially with some of the upheavals and some of the changes and some of the curveballs we've been thrown, I think most of our open door consultations with each other and with the other therapists in our office have been like, what is happening? What is this?
Yes. Which, because I think, you know, and I, maybe I'm old enough or maybe I've finally gotten wise enough. I don't know. But I think I do recognize when I look back that any time I go through a period of growth, it's not like just they come one at a time.
Yeah.
But it's almost like I'm immersed in it because it happens on multiple levels and in multiple areas, which I think, I don't know if that's just for me, like I will grow at that point because there's no other option.
Right.
Or if it's just because I'm seeing it here, I start to see it in a lot of other areas. I'm not sure what it is, but what I do know is when I look back and I see time periods of growth, there's been a lot to deal with on multiple levels.
Yeah.
And that's how it's felt the last couple of weeks as we kind of intentionally, maybe a month or maybe 2 months ago, kind of started out and saying, let's see what we can do to grow our business better and to take better care of the business, right? And be more mindful and intentional about it. So we mindfully kind of started on that process, but at some point it always feels like it gets out of my hands.
Right.
And then I'm just like, wait, come back.
Yeah, I think that's one of the scariest experiences for me over the last 6 months is to start to feel like things get a momentum of their own and things are moving at a pacing that I'm not controlling.
Right. Or like we were saying at the top of this, that something happened that we weren't expecting. There were things that we were intentionally creating for growth, and we knew it's going to be different or whatever. But then there were also curveballs that got thrown in that. And that's where it's taking on its own momentum. But it is that feeling of like, oh, well, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. You know, this time period here, it's not the same as it was 3 years ago, which do you realize it's 3 years ago next month that you started Healing Paths and that we had that upheaval going on?
Yes, because on LinkedIn, my work anniversary is coming up. And everybody's congratulating on me. They are congratulating me on my work anniversary, and they have no idea the trauma
right?
That surrounded starting this.
So I'm comparing the experience now to the experience then, which is another one of those, like, every growth point that I had, I think, was pushed 3 years ago. Many of the growth points I have now are being pushed again. But I'm finding myself responding really differently. In one of the things that's been happening, I've been having some interaction with an individual where there were some expectations that we had, and those expectations that individual needed to change, which is something that we talked to him about, and we totally understood, and things were okay. We've had some conversations after the fact where I look back historically and I'm thinking, like, I should have more fear here than I've had, or I should be more upset than I am. And I'm not scared and I'm not upset. And 3 years ago, when things started, when the upheaval started, for starting Healing Paths,
when everything turned upside down,
right? One of the first things that I said to Jackie was, I need to go see what my job prospects are around. I just need to make sure that I'm making the best choice for me and my family,
which completely gave me more fear. But I was like, okay.
Jackie was awesome and supportive in that, but like, I was looking at a move to another state. Yeah. I was still looking at working as a therapist, but it would be a really big change in momentum for how I was working as a therapist. Mm-hmm. Like, there were a lot of things that I was looking at being different. The story shook out where it felt right to be here, and I knew this is what I needed to continue doing. But I'm looking right now, like, I don't feel that kind of panic now that I had then. And our episode today is on that fifth trait about being centered and moderate. Functional adults are centered and moderate.
Well, and you and I have talked about this, because during that time, I mean, you were transparent and honest about where you were and came and said, I'm looking at other job prospects, and, you know, kind of kept me in the loop of, I had one interview, I got a second interview. So I was aware. But it was one of those, like, I was having a lot of fear because I knew, like, this was going to be much more difficult if to rebuild and to start a new company if you weren't part of it.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of fear around that, and just thinking, like, I mean, recognizing that I trusted you at that time and relied on you for some of building our reputation and doing good work. And if you were to leave, it was like, oh, I'm going to be all on my own. Mm-hmm. That's the feeling that I had. And a lot of fear and panic. But also noting to myself, like, I can't just let that fear overshadow everything. Because I could also be part of pushing you out.
Yeah.
If my fear, right? And so we had that conversation in which I said to you, I don't want you to stay here because I'm guilting you into this. Or I don't want you to stay here because I'm telling you that if you leave and do what's best for you, you're betraying me. Like, there were moments I wanted to say those things, right? To try to manipulate you into doing what I wanted you to do. But again, that would have been me not containing my reality and allowing you to have your reality.
Well, and to be honest, at that time, one of the things I wanted was for you to tell me what I should do. And I remember I consulted with a lot of people during that time. I was on the phone with several different therapist friends. I was on the phone with family members. And there were a lot of people who were like, no, this is exactly what you need to do. Like, this other job that I was looking at, it would have been the opportunity of a lifetime. I mean, there's the opportunity of a lifetime here, but at the time, that was a lot of the feedback I got. Like, that's a no-brainer. Like, go take that. And I wanted you to tell me what you needed, and I wanted you to tell me what to do, because I didn't want the wrong decision to be on me. I think that's part of, I think that's part of how, one of the features of how uncentered I felt was that.
Well, like, and I remember saying to you, if you decide to stay here and kind of build with me going forward, I want that to be because you chose that, not because I made you choose that. But I don't want this kind of what if, right? Like, what if I had taken this job? What if I had done this? I wanted you to own your decision. And because I know that if I owned your decision, you could resent me.
Which was, that was a really that was a really powerful door that you encouraged me to open there. And I remember the conversation I had with my wife. We actually, I don't know if I've told you this part. So I think I called you later in the day after I was offered the job and said, I'm not going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
That morning we had said, we're going to take the job. Let's look at, let's look at, like, we're going to need to sell the house. What timelines are we going to do that on? Like, I was probably going to need to move a couple months ahead of time to start. And then, you know, they would wrap things up here. And one of the things that my wife said to me, she said, can you guarantee that there will be another Jackie at this job?
Oh.
And I was like, there's good names that I recognize.
Right, some of the top names in our field.
And there's a good reputation, but she said, I think we may have just made the wrong decision. Like, we really need to think about that because, in again, some of her, like, not telling me what to do, but consulting me, she said, what I've seen is that relationship that you've had with Jackie over the last, was it 2.5, 3 yeah. years at that point? Over the last 2.5 years, like, you're doing things with her and because of that relationship that you guys have that I don't think that you can do on your own.
Mm.
And I don't think that you would do on your own. Like, there's an energy there that I think that needs to be part of our consideration.
Mm.
And that really changed a lot of things. And I think more of that moderate. Like, I was looking at a bottom line. Like, can a restructure in a business work? Like, is the paycheck going to be steady? How long of a legal battle are we going to have to get out of the previous arrangement and to start a new one? And I was honestly looking at, yeah, that's all great if we resolve that, but, like, can a paycheck keep coming?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to a guaranteed paycheck.
Right.
But yeah, I look back at that, what you said about if you stay, it needs to be your choice. And that has been, I mean, that's been empowering for the last 3 years to feel that I chose this and I'm continuing to choose this. And now it's almost like, not like it's not a choice, like I have to do it, but it's like this choice continues to make so much sense that's what I'm doing.
And yet, like we're talking about, being responsible for our choices and kind of owning our reality, which is what we talked about in our last episode, that's not easy. That's not for the faint of heart, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it is easier to say, you tell me what to do, and then if it goes wrong, I have somebody to blame.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, you know, I'm going to make my choice, and what happens going forward is on me.
Yeah.
And what I choose to do with my career, what I choose to create, right? That creative process is so inspiring, but it's so difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, what I choose to create with my life, that's mine.
Yeah.
And I'm owning it.
Yeah. I think that's a big part of that moderate experience, you know, in that black and white thinking. We can play find the bad guy really effectively, and we can paint a very convincing scenario that releases us from all responsibility and puts it on other people. But I think that the truth is, like you're saying, that the reality is that our decisions are our decisions, and we have to own that. And that's something I've recognized in my life. I have been a master of blame. But that's not coming from a moderated place. That's really coming from a panicked place. That's coming from a, I don't want the consequences of these choices, or I just don't want this reality. So I'm going to find all the ways that it's not mine.
Right. And as we've talked about in this series, that's also been so well modeled for us, right? That if I'm feeling this, if I'm feeling angry right now, there's got to be a reason for it. And it's not because I'm angry. It's because somebody made me angry.
Yeah. Yeah. So as I come back to the last 2 weeks, I've been talking, again, doing a lot of consulting. We've been talking a lot. Mm-hmm. We've been talking with our other therapists here a lot. One of the things that I am coming back to and thinking in light of this episode, particularly about the moderate internal experience, I feel like this time I have knowledge that I didn't have before.
Mm.
You know, when I compare my approach to being self-employed and building a business, like, I had good intentions 3 years ago, right? I had a lot of enthusiasm, but I didn't really know what things were important to do and how to do those important things consistently. And that's something that I've been learning the last 6 months. And I think that's something the last 2 weeks has really moderated that. Like, I feel that takes a lot of the high peaks and the low valleys, not out of the equation, but it's almost like I can ride over a high peak and I can ride over a low valley. I don't have to crash and I don't have to get out of control.
And this last 2 weeks, I mean, it's been good for us. You know, we've had multiple conversations with several of the therapists here in the office about what's going on. And it is good to it's a time in which we're like, oh yeah, these things that I've been working on personally, they are showing up here, right? And so I'm not as panicked. I'm not as angry about what's happening. I may be disappointed, or I may have to really reorient around, oh, okay, I didn't see that happening. But it's not, you know, I don't have a need to punish. I don't have a need to strike out. And so it is like life does offer us these moments to stop and review and assess and say, okay, where am I at in terms of what I've been working on? And those moments aren't always like happy occasions in which we're like, oh yes, this behavior is showing up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's reminding me of a quote I put on our Facebook wall a couple weeks ago. And I'm gonna butcher it. So plug for our Facebook page. Search the Facebook page to get this in the most potent form. But it was something like, when there's a curveball, the goals will change, or the plans need to change, but the goals don't have to. And I think that's a big part of what I've been feeling. Like, our plans are changing.
Right.
And they need to.
Right.
And I'm really glad that we can adapt.
Yes.
I'm glad that we're not so rigid, tied on whatever the plan was. But I think that's another thing that's bringing me a lot of moderation, is the goal is still the same.
Right.
And I know that we are still working toward the goals that we have. Even if some crucial parts of the plan have fallen off the machine, you know?
Right, right. Well, and I think it's an opportunity to surrender. I mean, we did an episode on surrender. Surrendering to something bigger than me, right? Like, I may have ideas. You and I have talked about a lot of things. But as we talk about these ideas now taking on a life of their own, that is allowing them to become something bigger than what we could have created. And that it'll kind of move in its own way, and we need to follow that and work accordingly, but also allow it to become its own momentum.
Yeah. I think that's something from the last 3 years that has continued to surprise me, just how different this has been than I've expected and how like those differences have been so wonderful. I don't think I would have dared to think that I want this, if that makes sense. It would have seemed too good
to say this is what I want. We've talked many times about Carver Brown on this. And if you go to our website, our business website, which is the Healing Now Recovery.
You can get it through our podcast website, too.
Okay.
On the side where it has events,
yes.
Click on that tab and you'll find the videos with Carver.
So Carver Brown, you know, we have when he came out and did a Back to Basics group for us here in Utah, we have that, and you can watch that from our website. But one of the conversations I had with Carver, he may not even remember this because he probably says brilliant things all the time and doesn't even know.
I get that impression.
Right? So one of the things we were talking about, similar to what we were talking about in our last episode, versus wants and needs. And, you know, he said when I was getting sober, he's like, I was having a conversation with somebody, and it was a female, wasn't a sponsor, but I think it was somebody in his recovery group. And he said, you know, she made the comment to me that maybe the God of my understanding, or no. This is what he said. Maybe the God that got me sober isn't the same God of my heart's desires.
Yeah.
And the God that got me sober isn't going to keep me sober.
Yeah.
And so there had to be that kind of that paradigm shift. And I think that's what made me think of that, as you were saying, I wouldn't have dared to dream that, or dared to say, I want this. And that's kind of that shift from, can our higher power, can God take care of our wants right? And our dreams as much as he does or she does our desires.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or our needs.
As you're talking about that, I'm thinking about this internal moderation again. And the image came up. I learned how to sail on a catamaran when I was 15. Mm. And I still am saving up to get my own cat. It's my favorite experience in the world. And one of the things about sailing on a boat like that, it has no central hull. And in bigger boats, I have a friend who has a 30-foot sailboat that he has a slip at Bear Lake, and it has this 5,000-pound keel, which is basically this huge weight that just goes from the bottom of the boat down in the water. And what that does is when the wind is pushing the boat over, if it pushes too far, that weight will counterbalance the force of the wind and the boat will just upright.
Okay.
On a catamaran, there is no ballast like that. There's no keel like that. So what you do when the wind is pushing the sail over and you're wanting to go fast and push the boat, you actually hold on to this little handle on one of the stays, which is a wire that holds up the pole. You hold on to this little handle, you put your feet on the edge of the trampoline, and you lean out.
Oh, I've seen people doing that.
Over the pontoon and over the water. And
so you're using yourself.
Right. And the lake that I learned how to sail on did not have a prevailing wind. Like, it would switch from minute to minute. So it got really exciting when we were going along, and it's called hiking out, and you're hiking out, and you're hanging over the water, and all of a sudden the wind shifts. And you have to throw yourself onto the middle of the trampoline and maybe even grab the other side and hike out again to keep the boat from going over. There were several times that we flipped that boat because that's what happens on catamarans when teenagers are sailing them.
Well, that's a big learning curve.
It was a huge learning curve, and it was terrifying. And I remember times where either I was hiking out and counterbalancing, or a friend was hiking out and counterbalancing, and something would change, and we would know that we were going over, and there was nothing we could do about it. And part of that is because we were so committed to one extreme. We were so extended over the water, all the weights over here. And when things change like that, if you're not close enough to center, you can't adapt like you need to. And so as we're talking about this, adults being able to be centered and moderate, I think the big reason why that's an important adult trait is because adult life throws things at you from every direction.
Yep.
All the time.
Yeah. And just like you were saying in your example with the catamaran, if you're too committed to one extreme, you don't have time sometimes to adapt. The reality is, if we're committed to an extreme, we don't want to adapt.
Right.
Right? We've picked a side and we have committed there. Like, we have, you know, not just put ourselves there, but we've built a house there.
Yeah.
So we are committed, and it's going to take a long time for us to move. Mm-hmm. Whereas when we're closer to center, there is a little bit more adaptability that we have.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think rooting out emotional extremes has been some of the hardest work, the hardest therapy work, the hardest self-improvement work that I've done. I've noticed that I stand a lot better chance at rooting out and working on some of the emotional extremes when my physical life, my behavioral life, is not as extreme. We were talking before we hit record about the importance of having an environment that supports the kind of growth that we want to do. So we wanted to hit really briefly just some points of those behavioral environmental extremes to watch for, to be aware of, and maybe even to work on moderating so that you can work on this, what it feels like to be a functional adult.
Right. So three of the areas that Pia Melody will talk about that often will show up in terms of not being in moderation is our body, our thinking, and then our feelings. So let's just start with the body. You know, one of these, I mean, it's, we were talking, I think a couple of weeks ago in a staff meeting, we were talking about the body. I guess maybe some of our staff meetings, we have weird conversations compared to other staff meetings.
Every staff meeting, we have weird conversations.
There's a lot of times my husband will say to me, that phrase would never come up at my work, regardless of how long I work there.
Right?
And I'm like, okay, true. But we were talking about the body, and we were kind of talking about how the body itself is a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
And it's telling the story of our life. And it can't really not tell that story. The
right.
body is telling the story regardless of what it looks like. The body's telling a story. And, you know, so one of these, I mean, when we look at, take, for example, how people dress, there is a story there. And sometimes those are in extremes,
mm-hmm.
right? So there are people who might wear really baggy clothes, really kind of neutral colored clothes so that they almost like blend in
mm-hmm.
and like nobody can really see the shape of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that is a story that is being told. But it's also maybe one in an extreme that's
yeah.
saying, don't see me. Don't I'm almost this really vague, like you have a really hard time seeing my actual body because my clothes are boxy or they're so baggy.
Mm-hmm.
And the other extreme of that would be the one who's wearing clothes that is saying, see me, see me, see me, right? Like whether that's that their clothes are somewhat skimpy or whether it's just they're super bright and kind of costumey.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever watched Kath and Kim when it was on TV. It was only mm-hmm. one season. It was Molly Shannon and Selma Blair.
Okay.
Molly Shannon was the mom and Selma Blair was the daughter.
Molly Shannon's the one that's superstar, right?
Yes. Okay. Superstar. Like there's only one Molly Shannon. It was only on for one season. It's one of my favorite TV shows ever, but they were I think they lived somewhere outside of Hollywood, like just loved everything Hollywood, everything mm. starred. Selma Blair was she's probably in her 30s in the show or maybe mid 20s. She marries this guy, but then she doesn't like it because marriage is just hard. So she goes back to live with her mom. And there's one time they're out shopping and she comes out in this jeans and her thong is, of course, showing above the top of the jeans. And her mom's like, those are so cute. And she's like, I know, right? And the employee of the store comes back and she says, do you have these in like a size smaller? Just whenever I think of like that see me dress, I always think of Kath and Kim because they're always bejeweled and fancy and everything's a size or two
yeah.
small.
Well, and this is where, too, I mean, so we talked about our body in terms of how we may dress our body, but the other thing, I think, is our body in terms of how our body looks, right? And this
yeah.
is where the 12-step OA, Overeaters Anonymous, mm-hmm. comes into play and the eating issues, where for a lot of people that I've talked to who are overweight, they will talk about how overweight people are invisible.
Yeah.
And nobody sees them, right? I've had other overweight clients who will say, people see me because I am so big, but nobody desires me.
Yeah.
Right? Which is also a story that body is saying.
Yeah.
And then you've got people who are really super skinny or very thin or very, you know, we've had clients before who are super into being fit, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's this like, I'm going to have this body that is so desirable, people can't help but want me,
mm-hmm.
right? Which we know because we're therapists working with them that underneath that is this story of neglect.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to get their body to be so desirable, right? Because they at some point felt undesirable. I wasn't lovable.
Oh, and often under the story of weight is the story of food, right? Which is
right.
our very basic way of nurturing ourselves. And you'll see
yep.
extremes in that too.
Right.
When you see extremes in dress, or you see extremes in weight, or you see extremes in fitness.
Mm-hmm.
There's this other subtext of just how that person inconsistently nurtures themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking a lot. The last 6 months I've learned a lot about business, but I've paid a price for that. Like I'm probably in the worst shape of my life right now.
Mm.
And not eating very well. I'm eating consistently.
So Which
I've
is
got
good.
That, I've got that to say, and that's an improvement from the past, but I have some work to do on that to bring that back into balance.
Uh-huh. So those are some thoughts on our body and can we, with our body, live in moderation, right? And it's hard to do. Like sometimes I'll use the example of learning to ride a bike, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can remember what it felt like to ride a bike, I mean, you're shaky. I mean, that feeling of like, I'm going to fall, or how do I concentrate on balancing, but then use my brakes? Like
mm-hmm.
it was really difficult to learn to ride a bike, right? Like I don't regularly ride a bike, but if I get on a bike, I've kind of built this unconscious competence
yeah.
around riding a bike. I can do it.
Yeah.
And I don't really need to think the way that I did when I was learning to ride a bike mm-hmm. because my body knows how to balance better. And it just, you know, it's just kind of used to that. And it knows how to do that. But, and so some things, right, we learn it and we get to that place of balance and we don't really have to work hard at doing that ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But other things like balancing things in our life, right? It's not like I get there and I'm never going to have to work at it again.
Right. And I think that's that real childlike mentality that says, like, I get this once and it's good.
Mm-hmm.
That I have a nephew when he was a lot younger. If he saw somebody do something once, he would say, oh, I know how to do that. I saw somebody do it. And it was like, one time his dad was using power tools and he's like, I saw grandpa use that saw once. Like, I can do that. And he's like six. I'm like, no, you can't.
Like, nobody's handing you a saw.
Right. But I think in functional adulthood, we recognize that balance is a continual thing, that it's mm-hmm. not a destination that we arrive at.
Right. And that I get in balance. And because I live in a world with gravity and all that other stuff, I'm likely to get out of balance.
Yeah.
But if I have an awareness, I'm likely to feel the balance getting off before it's extremely off.
Yeah.
And I'm in extremes.
Yeah. PMLD also talks about thoughts and feelings mm-hmm. being in or out of balance.
Right.
And she'll talk a lot about black and white thinking.
Yep.
Versus kind of gray is yeah. where the balance is at. And in
oh. And that I think that is something because as kids are pretty concrete thinkers.
Yep.
And so black and white thinking is pretty concrete like that.
Yeah.
And another way to say that is kind of binary, right? It's either or. We have one of two things.
Yeah.
And learning to think in the gray can be difficult for people. And they don't know that there's options, right? So mm-hmm. sometimes we'll have clients come in and it's like, I can do this or I can do this. And it's like, okay, wow, those are both really extreme. Where's the other option? And they seriously don't know.
Yeah, like there's times where I'll ask clients, like, what's a third option? You see, what's a fourth option? Uh-huh. Like, there are no other options.
Exactly. I have been thinking about this and it's these two. And you're like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
Well, and again, that takes me back to the catamaran. Like, we're so far hung out just trying to keep things in what feels like balance that we actually don't have the ability to balance anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We've overcommitted. We've overbalance and we've lost our flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
I think in emotions, it's a lot the same way. I like the phrase that PMLD uses, saying that our reality is either shut down or it's booming
mm-hmm.
Emotionally.
Right.
And I think that's something as we've consulted over the last couple weeks, I know that's something that I've checked in with you on. Like, am I feeling what needs to be felt here?
Right.
Am I in touch with this
right.
or am I shut down
yeah.
or am I overreacting or what's happening here? Mm-hmm. And I think as far as emotional balance, consultation is a really important key
mm-hmm.
to being able to find emotional balance.
Right. To go to other people that we trust and say, here's what's going on for me. Can I get your thoughts on it?
Yeah.
And really opening that up for them to give their thoughts instead of just telling us what we want to hear.
Yeah.
'Cause I think, you know, and we see this in couples a lot where one person maybe is very shut down emotionally and say they do nothing and the other person is booming with their emotions, right? They're just kind of, they've got a lot of emotions and they're just raging.
Taking up all the space.
Right. And it feels like they balance each other out. But what happens is they both have to go to these extremes in order to feel that balance with each other.
And what we often see happen is that the spouse with the shut down emotional reality,
mm-hmm.
as they begin healing, they start getting emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like both of them jumped. It feels like both of them jumped to the same side of the boat, especially to the booming emotional
right.
spouse.
Well, and I think that's an important thought there, too, because when we aren't used to kind of being in moderation and when what we're really used to is being in extremes, right? Even a moderate feeling or a moderate thought is not going to feel enough.
Yeah.
Because we've been very shut down or very hot,
yeah.
right? And those are two extremes. And so when we actually start to feel moderation, it feels almost like nothing.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, it feels like, well, this isn't very much. And and that is what moderation is, right? I feel that, I know it, I can talk about it, I know that it's registering in my body, but it isn't in the extremes.
Yeah. And it's brand new territory. It's disorienting to start to go there. But just like any brand new place that we've been, we have to take time to explore it. We have to take time to get to know it. Sometimes in that getting to know it, we find out the parts of it that we don't like or the parts that don't work for us. And that's all part of that exploration.
Yeah.
Should probably hit pause here for today on this episode. We want to reiterate, we're putting together a frequently asked questions show, so please email us at thanksforsharingpodcast@gmail.com, or you can contact us through our website, thanksforsharingpodcast.com.
So at the end of this episode, remember that your story matters. Remember there is something meaningful in every chapter. Don't wait to share your story till it is finished.
You can keep sharing your story with us on Facebook. Our page is Healing Paths, Inc., or on our website, www.thanksforsharingpodcast.com.
Thanks. This podcast is solely for the purpose of information and entertainment and does not constitute therapy, nor should it replace competent professional help.
At the end of another episode, we want to remind you that nobody has time for perfection. We are pursuing progress.
And remember the prayer of the perfectionist. Help me remember I can't do it all. Help me to take things one step at a time, and that the only step I need to focus on is the next right step for me.
Help me to remember that life is a journey. Help me to be able to separate all that I am learning from all that I have to do. Help me to remember that I am not alone, that I can ask for help. Help me to strive for frequent awakenings, not mastery. I am enough. Amen.